Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know. We're going to talk about musicals and what they teach us, the lessons we've learned, the things that we have garnered from the garnish of the... Anyway, I'm Miranda Selwood and I have two co-hosts at the table with me.
Zane C. Weber, trying to figure out what the garnish of a musical actually is.
I don't know, but it could be delicious.
Is it the play out?
No, maybe it's the overture. She likes an overture.
I do like an overture.
Who do we have with us today?
Well, sorry, I'm Julie Eisentrager. Soz about it. And with us today we have...
Hey, I'm Jonathan Hickey.
Hello, Jonathan.
Hello, Miranda.
Do you prefer to be called Jonathan or...
Yes, full name,
Jono?
Please. Jonathan Wesley Hickey. Just,
you don't want to shorten
that J-W-H at all times.
No. Okay.
Yeah, Jono's great. Jono's lovely.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
What do you think? What do you want to go with?
To be determined.
No, to be determined. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We'll try it.
We'll be back.
He's all right. I'll vouch for him.
We'll come back.
John, Johnny, Jono, Jonathan has come to speak with us today about which show?
The Light in the Piazza.
The Light in the Piazza.
La Luce nella Piazza. That,
oh, that's better. Yeah, that actually sounds like Italian.
Yeah, not racist.
What? Oh,
that's a spice so racist.
That was an incredible act.
I don't can't do
guys.
It. Anyway, so we're going to talk about the slightly Italian musical, The Light in the Piazza,
very
by Adam Gutel. Is he? Is Gutel? Is he Italian? Is he Italian?
He's not actually. No, American. I don't think he has any
affiliation with this.
I don't think so.
With Italy?
I don't think so.
No.
Careful, Miranda.
Italia.
Careful. We're trading
anyway, we're not here to talk about Adam. We are here to talk about Jonathan. Are you ready?
Yes. Hit me up. Let's go. I asked my mom all these questions. So
to know
I asked
you.
My mom.
These are all my mom's answers.
So. All your mom's answers.
Yep.
Okay, which musical character would your mom compare you to?
Rapunzel's Prince in Into the Woods.
Specifically Rapunzel's Prince.
Specifically Rapunzel. I haven't got what it takes to be Cinderella's. Let's not be there. You know, I haven't got the height
Does
on me.
Does Rapunzel's Prince have, like, less to sing in agony as well?
No, the same amount. No.
He's also not the wolf. So that's
unless,
a good thing,
unless you're doing the version that has two wolves.
I just think, you know, nearly get the... Yeah, it fits me.
Just occasionally blinded by
thorns. Every now and then, I'm just a Disney prince.
Yes, you
that's
know,
just what I am.
Trying to figure out how to get to the girl with obstacles.
Obstacles, yeah. All right.
Like a huge tower.
Which musical character would you like your mum to compare you to?
Ooh. I don't
that's
know.
A Cinderella's different question.
What? Was that on the sheet?
Or other people. Any other people.
Okay.
Who do you want to be? Who are you on the inside that you want the world to know?
Who is inside of you?
Who is inside of me? Frankie Valli.
Aww. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Frankie
See
Valli
it.
From
Got it.
J-Boys.
From J-Boys.
Big fan of the Jersey Boys, and I'm a big fan of Frankie Valli.
Yes.
Yeah.
How's
the
range
character,
for...
Not the actual person in real life.
How's the range for Frankie?
Yeah, it's coming. It's
Do
there.
You need like a swift kick or
no?
It's there.
Just a nice warm up.
Just a good warm up.
There we
That's
go.
That's really good.
Sherry.
That's falsetto.
Baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we're not gonna do that.
Okay.
It's been a big day.
So is that your dream role? Or do we
not my dream role. Dream role would be George from Bridges of Madison County.
Ooh.
Have any of you seen it?
I haven't seen it.
Listen to the soundtrack?
No. It was off Broadway by the time we got there.
Mm. Oh, well, I'm in love with the musical. Like, absolutely.
Much more mind, actually.
It had a short run. It deserved
oddly short.
Yeah.
And, you know, JRB let people know what he thought about its oddly short run.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. We did have the pleasure of seeing JRB accept his Oscar. Apparently he's in the Oscars now. His Tony Award, which was a non-televised award. And boy, did he let people know about that too.
Whoa, not
that was for orchestration.
Best orchestration.
For Bridges.
Oh, the score's it's incredible.
Yeah. It is.
So that would be my, George would be.
Yeah.
It's a great, great sing.
Cool.
And Stephen Pasquale, who actually originated the role of Fabrizio in
The Ladders of Piazza.
He played, so he's a bit of an idol for me as well,
Aww.
Good Stephen. He's incredible.
This sweet.
Bliff,
Speaking of Stephen.
Yeah.
What's your favourite Sondheim show?
Sondheim show?
Yeah, different Stephen.
Probably Sunday in the Park with George.
Good choice.
Sunday.
Yep. Solid choice.
I'm obsessed with finishing the hat. That was like my go-to song. Mm.
Did you listen to our episode about?
No, I haven't.
Shame.
I have to listen to it.
What a shame.
Well, you know, never too late.
Well, on that episode, we told that great story about how finishing the hat wasn't in the show.
Get out of here.
It was the last thing to go into the show. And Sondheim played it to Mandy Patinkin
during the lunch break.
During the
bloody way.
Yep, in like a basement a pub or a cafe.
No air conditioning. They're all sweating. It was gross. How do you know
he this? Performed it. He performed it that night.
Where?
Mandy Patinkin
in the theater.
Yeah,
performed it in the show. They were already in.
They're in previews.
Yep.
Get out of here.
He heard it.
Well, you know,
and
that's
performed
Mandy.
It
that's Mandy that for night. You.
Finishing the hat.
Finishing the hat, yeah.
Yep, he learned all those lyrics.
There are a lot of
one
lyrics.
Day.
Oh, well, it's pretty repetitive.
I think maybe he just had them written on his hands.
It kind of just, you figure it out after
just
a while.
Just up the arm.
A hand, back a hand, arm.
But
it's how he learned the lyrics.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's quite hirsute, so he might lose
he's
the back of the
book.
Arm.
No, he's got a book with him.
He's
got his books. He'd have the lyrics there, surely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He probably just
like,
cheated,
yes,
Miranda.
Yes, look for me.
It's probably not a very impressive feat at all.
He cheated, for sure. He definitely cheated. That's why
Let's
he was like,
on.
Calling you out, Mandy Patinkin.
We're calling you out, Mandy.
We know what
we
you
know
did.
We know what you're up to,
Mandy.
We're
not that impressed. Wheeling it back in.
That's why
it
you
back
have
in.
The sketchbook every night.
Hey, Jonathan. Yo, what's your go-to shower song?
Weird. I was thinking about this. I think it's If I Loved You.
If I love
Yeah, and then I don't do the top notes because I'm like, nah, it's not going to happen this morning. Yeah, that would be it.
That's a lovely song.
It's very melodic.
Yeah.
And you can hum it.
It would ring nicely in the shower.
It rings. Yeah. You know, if it's a good day, it does ring nicely. Yeah. If it's a bad day,
Okay, here we go.
What's the next one?
If you have to delete one musical.
I have thought about this,
From existence.
Mm-hmm.
Gone.
Probably Hairspray.
Big one.
You can stop the beat, apparently.
Yeah, probably Hairspray.
Wow.
Is that controversial?
I don't know.
Well, we haven't had Hairspray yet.
Depends
what
your reasoning
Can you give
is.
Us a why?
Yeah.
I just wasn't a big fan.
Okay.
Just don't like it.
I still really like the music.
Did you say you're not a fan of the movie? Is that what you just said?
Oh, no, the movie's okay. I'm just like the
it's
music.
It's got Zac Efron in it.
Are you a big fan of Zac Efron? I feel like you two ladies are obsessed with Zac Efron. Like there's a lot of pieces of paper going around this table with Zac Efron on them, and I'm confused as to why that is. So can we explain? Can you explain yourselves?
Hey, look at this nude of Zac Efron.
So can you please put your laptop away so it looks like Zac Efron? PG, please.
What's funny is that there is a picture of Zac Efron on my laptop.
So just never connected with you?
Never really connected with Hairspray.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? That's fair enough because I just don't like the music as a great excuse for half the things I hate musically.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Fair enough.
All right. I'm not going to be hypocritical and say you can't say that.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that was only,
It's all right.
We'll forgive you.
Okay, good.
This once.
I appreciate it.
Everyone gets one.
I mean, if I had to, there's a big have in the.
Yeah, you have to. You absolutely have to.
Like, you know, honestly.
You can't just say, like, oh, all musicals are good and they're
like,
played.
No.
Like,
yeah, no.
We understand that the musicals.
One. me on the fence.
Something always deserves to be deleted, really.
I have a strong, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, it was strong.
Good. Lovely.
Strong and wrong, but yeah. That's right, okay. So we like that.
What would you delete?
Oh, we've done it. We've deleted.
Just quick, snappy.
I deleted Mary Poppins.
Ooh. I deleted Rent.
Okay. What did I delete?
I thought about Rent. But then I'm like, I really want to play Roger one day.
Phantom?
So
I think it was Phantom.
I deleted Phantom.
Yeah.
I'd love to play Roger because it's got some great pieces. I really like the whole that situation.
Yeah, you like to whinge is what you're saying.
Yeah, I like to whinge.
I like to whinge at the end of that conversation. It was
like some of the first pieces I started looking
at. Well, we now know everything there is to know about Jonathan Hickey, except what his preferred nickname is. That is still TBA.
Yeah, TBC.
John with no H. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that?
Ooh.
Just John.
Jazza?
It doesn't have an H.
Jazza?
I'm sorry, Jazza.
No. Is that like the Australian diminutive?
Never heard that before in my
of
life.
Of Jonathan?
No. No.
No, Jono is.
Jizzo.
No, I don't like that at all.
I don't think so.
No, gotta,
click that funky beat. Right, let's talk about
the light in the piazza.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds
creepy
European
when you say it like that.
And romantic. I was going for romantic.
I think I found.
Is this why I don't?
This might. Yeah, we'll chat later.
I thought that was very romantic.
I think you.
Gonna try to
the light in the piazza.
Oh wow,
better.
What do you reckon, Zane?
It wasn't.
It was weak. You know. It was weak.
No, it wasn't.
I didn't say that.
All right. Okay. Tell us about the show, Jonathan.
All righty. So the first production was in Seattle in 2003. And from what I recall, Kelly O'Hara played Clara and
Yas Queen.
Mm-hmm. She's a Marzen. And Stephen Pasquale played Fabrizio. And so when it transferred over to Broadway, sadly, Stephen Pasquale couldn't do it because he signed a contract for a TV show. I'm not sure which TV show that is, but he was unavailable. So that's when they got Matthew Morrison in, which was gut-wrenching. And then he stepped into the role of Fabrizio, and they were on Broadway, and I'd say it was very successful. They won, Adam won the Tony for best score.
And orchestration.
And orchestration, yeah. Very deserved. And then in 2006, you had the US National Tour, which I have no idea how it went. So if you guys would like to pop in on there, anybody?
It did. It's been critically acclaimed.
I'm hoping it went very well.
Pretty much across the board, critically acclaimed. Yep. A lot for kind of betraying the expectations of being typical Broadway melodrama and kind of actually keeping it a bit more human.
Yeah.
And obviously, Gatel's music has been praised
a lot
as well.
Yeah.
But that year at the Tonys was a big year. So they didn't win Best Musical.
Okay.
It won.
What did win?
It won Original Score, Leading Actress, Orchestration, Scenic Costume and Lighting Design, which if you've seen any clips, it was filmed. If you've seen any clips,
the sets are
amazing in the sense of scale that they have.
Yeah.
Because you have only a few people on stage and it just looks like everything is so big and far away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But
Best musical for 2005 was Spamalot.
It was Spamalot, but also Dirty Rotten Scoundrels was that year, and 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee.
So that's a mouthful.
All of them have stuck around.
I can see why in that mix, though, it did come away with the best score win.
Absolutely. The others are kind of simplistic when it comes
musicals, for sure.
So, it has all the way around its tours. It's been kind of widely critically acclaimed.
Yeah.
It only ran 500 performances on Broadway.
Well,
500 is still pretty good, but it's relatively new, but it has kind of flown under the radar.
Definitely. When they premiered it in Australia, although it is an amazing show, it didn't really sell out as you'd expect because it isn't one of the main musicals like Wicked and whatnot. So it,
well, I think it just no goes, one had it flies under heard the radar.
No one had heard of it.
Yeah,
which is really sad because it is, I think, well, one of my personal favorites. Yeah, it's incredible.
Mm.
So, it is a very pretty musical. Like when you're pretty. Listening to it,
oh,
it's
but
very
the story
pretty.
Is also yeah. When you go delve deeper into it, yeah.
Do well, what, yeah.
Yeah. What they say here when mm-hmm. they mention the Australian production is. The cast consisted of members of the Australian company of Phantom of the Opera. Like, why would you, why is that necessary? Is it a direct pull? Do they just go, oi, yeah. oi, 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 pretty much, come sing this for us?
Pretty premiere? Much, it was a when concert, was that was a concert version.
Yeah. 2008.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so weird if they just went, hey, that can we borrow you for a sec?
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. Like, come here, just sing this. Okay, thanks. All right, go back to Phantom.
It is a very lyrical piece, yeah.
And also, like, it's very... like operatic.
Very operatic, of course.
As, as well, all the way through.
The sister, Fabrizio's sister. What's her name? I can't remember.
Getting there.
Yep.
Franca,
yeah, her song.
Sister-in-law, yeah?
The sister-in-law, yeah.
It's Giuseppe's his brother. And
Giuseppe's his brother, Giuseppe's wife. Franca, that song is such an, it's so chromatic. And yeah, such a hard piece, I'm assuming for any soprano or...
Mm. And also, it bears saying that some of the songs are actually in Italian.
They are,
Of course. Yeah.
Il mondo era vuoto. That's completely sung in Italian. There's no subtitles at all, so your audience really has, just has to go off the emotions that
or,
are being portrayed.
But that's
be from Italy.
Be Italian. But the music does a beautiful job of telling story.
And again, that's the operatic tradition.
It definitely comes from
I mean,
that.
It chucks in the name Clara a fair bit and you're like, oh, yeah, he's just singing about her.
Oh,
great.
That's obviously who
chucking
he's talking
about. A few pelvic thrusts and you're
yeah, yeah.
You're good. They get the gist.
I can see what's happening here.
Yeah. Well, no, in Aiutami, the mum actually stops and she says, I don't speak Italian, but I have to tell you what's going on. That's a really comedic moment in the show. Because all the show is in Italian. And she's like, I don't speak English, but hey, this is what's going on. Aiutami means help me. And so it's
she delight.
Just steps out, goes past the fourth wall and chats with the audience. And it was incredible.
Nice.
Yeah, so they do, yeah.
So you've seen the show?
I've actually been in the show. Yeah.
Shocking somehow. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, so I did the Melbourne production with Lifelike Touring in 2016 at the Arts Centre, yeah.
Famous. He's like famous.
Hashtag famous. MTC famous.
All right, okay. Shall we move on?
Well, we could, but don't we want to let the famous person talk more? I don't know. I don't know how. I've never been around fame before.
What are you doing?
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to click the button now.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, Julie, tell us about the plot. Tell us what happens in The Night in the Piazza.
The Night in the Piazza?
The sure. Light in okay. the Piazza. Sorry. It was just under the thing there.
Il notte nella...
Same, different first letter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, act one.
Mm-hmm. That's how it starts.
Act uno. In the early morning of their first day in Florence, Margaret reads from her guidebook to Clara as the piazza around them is waking up. Oh, that's a fancy trick. Mm-hmm. A breeze carries Clara's hat off her head and across the square where a young Italian man, Fabrizio, miraculously catches it. Okay, well, catching something isn't miraculous.
Well, no, because no one else can catch it. And so he just kind of reaches out and grabs it.
Maybe he's just
meet cute.
Can we just lay some foundation before we go in with...
She likes to draw things out, ladies and gentlemen.
The story is set in the 1950s and revolves around Margaret, a wealthy Southern woman, and her daughter Clara. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yeah. Who take a trip.
So they're in Italy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Southerners in Italy, 1950s. Please proceed.
My God. So Fabrizio Miracoli. It sounds like cleaning detergent, Fabrizio.
All right. Let's. Speaking of drawing things out.
That's Miranda's fault. By Miranda. Miraculously catches it midair and returns it to her. The two are instantly smitten because it's a musical. Mm-hmm. But Margaret steers her daughter away from the encounter, bringing her next to the gallery where she... Where the reaching figures in the painting speak to Clara of her own yearnings. Ugh. Fabrizio appears, hoping to arrange a time to meet with Clara, but once again, Margaret intervenes.
Mum doesn't, she's protective.
She's Why not she loving protective? Of it.
Well, no, we'll find out.
Yeah.
Is Clara, like, is the yearnings we speak of Clara, because it's like naked dudes in paintings, is she like, winky face?
A little bit, yeah, no, yeah. Definitely.
She's well, hard up for some paintings.
There, Michelangelo is there and... She's admiring his
right.
Ember.
So she's hard up for paintings. Anyway, alone.
Statues.
Well, she's, mostly. Yeah, she's discovering, yeah.
The bless her cotton form. Socks.
Yeah,
bless her cotton socks. Alone, Fabrizio sings in Italian his declaration of love at first sight, as they all do, along with a heartfelt cry of fear that she could never love anyone as lost and without position as he. Oh, yeah, right. Fabrizio begs his father and his brother Giuseppe to help him dress more presentably for Clara. Giuseppe attempts to teach Fabrizio some dance steps as well. Cute.
Yeah.
Do you get any feels there? Because it's like dad's helping son.
Not particularly.
Okay. It's not mother-son and yeah, that's why it's not.
It's condescending. In that
yeah, it's not it kind no of like, hope. It's not like a proud moment. It's like, oh, I'm so proud of you. It's like, let's... It's almost like a montage. Let's like, fix let's you get
up.
You ready.
I don't think he's really okay. cared. It's so all this is about where, like, trying to impress women. And then comes this girl and it's...
Dad steps finally. In as queer eye for the straight guy kind of game.
Pretty much, yeah.
Great.
Yeah, yeah, precisely.
And his brother, Giuseppe.
Giuseppe, he's the main, yeah. He's always been very, yeah.
At the Duomo, Fabrizio once again catches up with Margaret and Clara, and this time Fabrizio's father, Signor... Word I can't say.
Naccarelli.
Naccarelli.
Is able to...
Fabrizio...
Jonathan just really likes rolling his R's.
No, it's the next sentence. Signora is able to help penetrate Margaret's resistance to any further involvement. Mm. They all agree to meet at sunset to take a walk and admire the view of the city from above.
Penetrate? Really?
It's good stuff.
Great stuff.
Margaret and Clara are invited to have tea. At the Naccarelli home, Giuseppe's wife, Franca, takes Clara on a tour of the apartment, and alone in a separate room, she warns Clara about how quickly love can stale in a marriage. Ouch. All right, Mum. Jeez.
Well, that's sister. That's sister-in-law. That's
sister-in-law, yeah.
She's married to Giuseppe.
Her, Giuseppe's a player.
I get ya.
And so she's very...
Though the fam are universally impressed with Clara, Margaret tries, without success, to share her deep reservations. When she looks in Fabrizio's eyes and sees the love there, she can't bring herself to disappoint him, as much as she feels she must, for there is something about Clara that none of these people know. Dun, dun, dun. Mm-hmm. Man, I really hope it's a teeny beanie.
No. It's not that kind of musical, surely.
I know, and it upsets me. Anyway, Clara secretly makes plans to meet Fabrizio at midnight near the hotel. Guys, what's a good time to meet someone?
Midnight.
Midnight. What's a good time to go?
State Building.
Yeah.
Middle of Central Park. That's not a safe time to be in Central Park.
No.
Margaret calls her husband, Roy, who is back in the States. She tries to tell him what's happening with Clara and Fabrizio, but he is brusque. And not very understanding, cutting short the conversation. Margaret, alone in her hotel room, reflects on the loneliness in her marriage. She checks.
Dads don't get it.
Nah, dads don't get it, eh? She checks in Clara's room and finds that she is missing. Because she's getting it on at midnight. Anyway.
Trying to.
Yeah, right.
Planning.
She's like, dem statues.
She's on the way.
On her way to meet Fabrizio, Clara becomes lost in the maze-like streets of Florence. She loses all poise and control, becoming hysterical and screaming like a child. Her mother takes her back to the hotel. What, did she just hear her?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
So, well, her mother finds her missing and goes out looking for her.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's having a breakdown.
Yeah.
Her mother takes her back to the hotel and as Clara sleeps reveals the source of her disquiet. When Clara was a young girl, she was kicked in the head by a Shetland pony and the accident caused her mental and emotional abilities to develop abnormally. Well, it's not a teeny peeny, guys.
No. It's a head injury.
That's disappointing. Margaret feels that she must take Clara away from Florence at once and she steps down into the lobby to have a drink. While she's away, Fabrizio comes to the room distraught. He cannot find the right words to express his feelings and Clara urges him to use any other means. Winky face!
Read the next sentence.
So disappointing. Clara accepts Fabrizio's proposal of marriage. Damn it. And the two are embracing, half undressed, as Margaret walks in on them. Semi-winky face.
Semi-winky face. And like that's the end of the act, isn't it?
Like a half yes. wink. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Act two.
Two.
So, well, at the end of act one, everything seems to be kind of going well.
Apart
except
from the fact that Fabrizio is just... now become engaged to a woman that he doesn't know is mentally disabled.
That's just the one secret that is kind of looming.
Mm. I mean, it shouldn't matter. I mean, you fell in love with her instantly, so clearly you fell in love with all of her.
How old is she? She's 24?
Yeah, 27.
27, that's right. Sorry, yeah.
Oh my God, there's still hope.
So she's a matured woman.
You just need to get to Italy, Julie.
Need to get to Italy, guys. Look at some paintings, and then I'm going to find a man that'll love me.
Lose your hat. You've got to lose your hat.
I can
and
lose
whoever
my hat.
Catches it, you get to marry.
Yes.
That's how it works in Italy.
Wow.
Yeah, that's it.
It's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Is that what they mean when they say throw your hat in the ring?
No.
Oh.
No, throw your hat in the on the ring in the
throw your hat and get a ring.
Yes. Do you want to come to Italy with me?
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's go, guys.
Pack your bags, guys. I can get us on a plane there.
Let's do it.
Margaret takes Clara to Rome to distract her and put an end to the affair. Back in Florence, Naccarelli household is in complete chaos as the family despairs. Signor Naccarelli translates an aside. Sorry, Signora. My bad. It's Mum. Fabrizio believes that he has ruined everything with Clara. His father attempts to comfort him, and Giuseppe and Franca desire finer details.
So that's the bit that you were talking about before, where she basically says, I don't speak English, but here's what's going on.
Yeah, that's it.
Because they're all speaking in Italian.
Yeah, the number's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People are just singing all over the place. Aiutami, aiutami. It's ridiculous. Very, again, very chromatic and
it's fun.
Confusing.
It's
fun, very fun. Yeah, yeah. Harmony is ridiculous. Yeah.
Fun times had by all.
Mm.
No matter what Margaret tries, her daughter refuses to give her an inch, accumulating into a painful confrontation wherein Margaret slaps Clara across the face. Probably don't hit her in the face, guys. She's got a little brain on her.
Well, it's
don't shake it about.
It's healed now.
Still don't shake it about.
But there is a recording of this confrontation and then the song that leads it because it is the titular song.
She's being a bit of a bit.
She's a bit of a bitchula.
She's being a bit of a bitch
a
to her mother.
She's being a brat. Yeah.
She's just taking her mother's taking her away from the love of her life, taking her to Rome where she would, you know, she's about to get married. And she's just ruining everything and she doesn't know why.
Mom, stop ruining everything.
In her mind, she just thinks like she wants to be grown up and have the normal things in life. And her mother's like, you can't have this, but why can't I have it? Well, I can't tell you, but let's go. Let's get moving on.
So she doesn't know she's been
kicked
in the head?
No, she doesn't. And so it's a big secret. The mum and dad have not.
She's got the
mentality of a 12-year-old. So she wouldn't really take it well.
And it's kind of the whole conflict is her parents have kept this from the fact that she's different and she's not like normal girls.
Keep reading and you'll find out
what
goes on.
Well, that's exactly what happens.
Keep reading first,
but then
keep
Margaret, her mother relents. To set aside her doubts and considerations and to no longer stand in the way of the wedding. So the two return to Florence. Clara is instructed in the Latin catechism in preparation for converting to Catholicism. Oh, bless her cotton socks.
Man.
I can't believe she was Southern and not already Catholic.
Probably Protestant, Baptist.
Yeah. Baptist. Yeah. Anyway, while around her, everyone in the extended family sings of their feelings, stirred up by the immediate presence of such an intense young love.
Feelings.
Gross, eh?
Italian feeling.
Franca, in an attempt to arouse her husband's jealousy, kisses Fabrizio right on the mouth. Right on the mouth.
Ew!
And Clara witnesses it, breaking into a furious rant that ends with her throwing a drink on Franca. As Clara breaks down.
We tried using water, but then it got in the orchestra, so we just cut all.
Oh, no.
The violinist was not happy.
As Clara breaks down, Franca commends her for her bravery and declares her own desire to fight for Giuseppe. She toasts the upcoming union and is joined by the rest of the family. At the wedding rehearsal, Clara and Fabrizio are filling out the necessary forms when Signor Naccarelli sees something on Clara's form that causes him to call off the wedding.
What?
And he takes all his fam-bam away with him at once. Mm-hmm. Clara wants to know what's wrong with her, but her mother says there is nothing at all wrong. With Clara sobbing and broken alone in one of the pews of the church, Margaret reveals her worst fears and her shame.
The father stops.
Signor Naccarelli.
Yeah, Signor Naccarelli.
Her worst fears and her shame at having been the source of the daughter's lifelong suffering. She resolves to do whatever it takes to give Clara a chance for happiness. Oh, so awkward. So Mum tries to reason with Signor Naccarelli, who saw Clara's. Oh, that's so sad. Well,
tell everyone else because they haven't read it yet.
I'm emoting, guys. Let me learn. Who saw Clara's childlike handwriting as she completed her marriage form. She could have just had really bad handwriting, guys. Also,
is that it? Is that the reason?
That's what she thinks the reason is.
Of course.
Yeah. Sorry, just spoiled that. Can you imagine if, like, just that day she was trying out a left hand instead of the right? Like, you don't know. We don't know.
So that's what, yeah.
Cool. I mean, he would have probably seen what hand she was writing with.
True. Anyway, seemingly... Seemingly unconcerned with her immaturity or her handwriting, Signor Naccarelli admits that he saw Clara write her age on the form as 26.
26, not 27.
Damn
and
it.
That this makes her an unsuitable bride for his son, who is only 20.
Damn, good.
Italians.
So Damn. Mean. Okay, maybe we won't go to Italy, Miranda. Relieved that he has not discovered their secret, Margaret begs him to change his mind, but he will not. She invites him to take a walk with her, and the two wander from one end of Florence to the other as the sun slowly sets and the night comes on. Great. Anyway. By giving him time to mull things over and by not pressuring him, Margaret succeeds in putting the wedding back on track. Signor Naccarelli says he will meet them at the church the following morning.
She got it. She got it. She can be taught.
She can be taught.
Naccarelli.
Guys, I used to sing solely in Italian. Okay.
Good, I'm glad.
She's just forgotten. From the hotel room, Margaret calls Roy to tell him about the wedding. As might be predicted, he insists that Clara cannot handle the responsibilities of marriage. Guys, handle the responsibilities. Mm-mm.
Yeah, we know what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm. We get it.
It's sexual.
Clara, in her wedding dress, stands in the shadows, overhearing her mother's side of the conversation. Margaret says, just because she isn't normal, Roy, doesn't mean she's consigned to the life of loneliness. She mustn't be made to accept less from life just because she isn't like you or me. Devo. Clara slips out of the hotel room and runs once more through Florence, meeting Fabrizio at the church in order to tell him that she cannot marry him. She won't allow herself to cause him any pain. Fabrizio assuages that too. All of her fears. Moments before the wedding, Clara tells Margaret that she can't leave her. Can't leave you, mommy. Margaret assures her that she can. Left alone, Margaret breaks open all the repressed doubts and yearnings that she carried for the years on end about love, realizing that at last that the chance of love somehow outweighs the terrible risks. She joins the wedding ceremony.
And this is Zane's songs about feelings between mothers and daughters.
I knew there'd be one in there somewhere. What's the Italian word for the end? I only know the French one.
Fine.
Oh, so it's close.
Very similar. All those European romantic languages.
So very it is a deceptively simple story about feelings, basically. Mm-hmm.
Boy meets girl. Boy and girl get married.
It's a lot of references.
Eventually.
It's kind of similar to La Bohème in that light in the piazza, the light. She shows like Clara is his light. So, you know.
Aww.
Yeah, it's very similar like that. If you guys, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Can't wait till we go to Italy, Miranda. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. There's going to be so much light and just piazzas everywhere.
Throwing hats into the air.
Hats. Oh, yeah. I know. We're like, oh, no, we lost our hat. Get the spare.
Hey, you, catch it.
This is just going to be a game of you walking along, spotting a man that looks single and throwing a hat at him as
I'm
hard
sorry.
As
if I could yes. spot a man who looks single, old, I wouldn't be in old? The position I'm in, okay?
Okay, well, just spotting a man, just no throwing a hat man. At him.
Throw a hat.
See what happens.
See what happens. Go from there.
All if right. musical theatre has taught us anything, we'll cover this at the end of the episode.
Yes, we will.
Okay, but for now, let's move on to a little chat about the music. So we're going to have a chat about the music, and I think it's the music that makes this show really special.
Pop.
It makes it pop. Actually, it makes it the opposite of pop. pop was something that was happening in musical theatre and particularly across Broadway at the time. And
as you can see in the Tony nominees that year.
Yeah, yeah.
Like 25th annual.
And Spamalot. Yeah.
And
the other one.
It's not Drowsy Chaperone. It's the guys and the con men in Europe.
This is fun.
It's not fun for me. I'm going to die.
Welcome to Dirty
Rotten Scoundrels.
Yes.
There we go.
So this score breaks from the 21st century tradition of pop music on Broadway and moves more into the territory of where it's described as neo-romantic classical music. Mm. It's very operatic. So, yeah. But with unexpected harmonic shifts and extended melodic structures, it is more heavily orchestrated than most Broadway shows. And many of the lyrics are in Italian or broken English, as a lot of the characters are only fluent in Italian. So it's very different to everything else that was happening at the same time and very European and fantastical, and that it starts with an overture, which Miranda loves, and this is a lengthy overture. Yes. It's almost 5 minutes long, and the end of it blends, starts with a bit of vocal work without Clara. Words from Clara, which blends into the first song and first scene of the show. So that almost 5 minute long overture to me sounds like a dramatic golden era movie soundtrack.
It's such a lush orchestration.
Yeah.
And the melodies are incredible. So he's just really bringing strings. All of those leitmotifs in and you hear them all throughout the show.
And it's, you do hear a lot of that music then throughout the rest of the show. Do. But it doesn't feel like a pastiche overture of here's all the bits that we're going to hear later in the song.
It feels like
because it doesn't have this like
how he collaborates everything. Yeah.
Yeah. It all just blends through like it's one piece. The score is described as romantic and passionate, with music and lyrics that reveal the feelings of all the characters in soaring melodies. I liked that description because I feel like it has the same romance and theatricality that the music does.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me. So the orchestration, which we talked about, the orchestrations were by Ted Sperling and Adam Guitel did both words and music.
Yep.
Yeah,
and it is orchestrated for strings primarily and some woodwinds. So there's no brass
strings, and then he worked his way up.
Yeah,
that's right.
So bunch of violins, cello, harp, bass, and guitar, mandolin, all in there as well. And then we had some classic woodwinds, the clarinet, cor anglais, oboe, bassoon, contrabassoon. So lots of the higher tone woodwinds, and then percussion, but not drums. So there's no brass, there's no drums, there's no heavy beat. There's nothing that all those pop shows really rely on.
That's where it loses me. More brass.
More brass.
More brass.
Well.
No, I do like woodwinds, and those woodwinds are really used well.
And four of the five woodwinds are double reeds.
Yeah.
too. So it's
just to make it fun.
It gives it a tone that is very chamber orchestra and classical feeling. So it begins with that very long overture, which goes straight into Statues and Stories, which is Margaret and Clara talking about life in Italy and their start of their holiday there.
Yeah.
Great, great stuff. Sweet.
Lovely harmonies.
Yeah. Throughout. That's a given. The Beauty Is by Clara. Feel free to, because I don't have a lot.
This is when she's in the art gallery, and
yep.
I'm just trying to.
The Beauty is something that we're going to hear again later. Yep. So it's a bit of a recurring theme that gets passed from Clara to Margaret in the second act. It's followed by the first of our Italian numbers, Il Mondo Era
Vero. It's a great tennis song.
So The Beauty Is when they've just had their first interaction, Clara and Fabrizio, and she's first time she's ever experienced love, and she's kind of discovering that.
Ooh, this feels nice.
This feels nice. And the beauty is when someone is realizing that someone's looking for you. I can see you. So, and then Il Mondo, he's obviously just like realized the world is opening up and the lights are all turning on and everything's happening all at once because of Clara, and she's made him see the light.
Yes.
In Italian.
Well, Il Mondo era vuoto, the world was empty. So
Not anymore. Now it is full of light.
And you know what Clara means? Clarity. So it's like, she's the clarity to his world.
Aww.
So it's all very, yeah.
That is sweet.
It is very sweet.
So this is the moment in the show when you might usually get a romantic duet. But because they don't speak the same language, they sing their two songs separately.
Yes.
I think it's a really interesting way to have approached that moment.
Wow, yeah.
It's followed by American Dancing, which is the teaching Fabrizio.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
Passeggiata.
The word looks longer and more complicated than that.
Passeggiata. Yeah, it does.
Italians like to throw in lots of double digits.
They just run all the vowels together.
Jack
them all in.
Just all the letters.
And a couple of
that's
fives.
That's Fabrizio and Clara. So this is when they do sing together.
Yeah. Yes. It's their first.
Their first date.
Yeah.
He's got ready. She's reflecting on what she's doing. And then they meet.
They meet in the middle.
Yeah. Margaret allows her to go on a date with him.
Thanks, sweet, Margaret.
She's like, yeah, thanks, Ma. You can go.
Sure. Go, have fun.
Have fun.
Don't get married. that might happen later. The Joy You Feel, Franca.
Very depressing.
The title doesn't sound that way. The things I'm working out.
Great song.
The Joy You Feel.
Backhanded.
Will end.
Mm, exactly.
That's really sad.
And relationships.
Lol. Followed by Dividing Day. That's Margaret.
Yeah, the realization of when, you know, marriages. There's no love anymore.
Yeah, this comes after the phone call with
phone call with Roy talking, you know.
So Franco and Margaret basically two versions of the same feels.
No, I think Margaret thinks that she's happy.
Well, they were happy once upon a time. And, the marriage just dried up. It also says, like, they were never really in love. She just decided to go with him because that was...
It made sense. Yeah.
And then when she sees Clara and Fabrizio's love, she realizes, I never had this.
Aww.
So that's why she's so wanting for them to, you know.
Work.
Work, yeah.
But at the same time, not. Hysteria, yeah. Clara and Margaret. So this is she's gone off into
she gets
the streets
lost.
Yeah, she
and
goes
got
to
lost.
Meet up with him at midnight.
Yep.
Bam.
Followed by Say It Somehow. This is the end of the first act, Clara and Fabrizio.
Yeah,
and
this song includes
the proposal.
Yeah.
And Clara actually proposes to him and he
does.
Replies.
He
says, no, I was
He's
meant
like,
to
no,
do
no,
that.
No, I am the one who's supposed to ask. Yeah, it's very cute.
It is.
Take it back.
Take it back. He's like, that's all right. Shit, girl. That's
yeah. It's a really beautiful moment.
Funny, yeah.
I really love that moment. Yeah. And then that's the end of first act. We go into second act. There's an on track listed, but it's not on the recording.
It's not, no.
I'm blaming you for some reason.
We did. Jonathan. Sorry, guys. We did do it. We did do it in the show.
Oh, good.
I mean, it does appear in the show, just not on the recording.
It does appear in the show. Yeah.
Is it also 5 minutes long?
I don't think so. No.
No. Okay.
No.
It's just a sort of mood breaker.
Yeah. Yeah. Bring us back into the world of Florence and Italian things.
Into the Naccarelli family.
Oh, the crazy one.
Yultami, yeah. Yultami. Insane. He runs. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Crazy.
Crazy. So this is the one with they're all talking over each other all in Italian.
And the mother breaks out.
And the mother breaks
ducked up.
It says, by the way, this is what's happening. followed by the titular song, The Light in the Piazza, sung by Clara.
Oh, it's such a beautiful piece.
It is a really pretty song.
It's a really pretty song.
This song did the rounds when I was at uni. And the show must have been brand new at the time.
It was, yeah.
I'm very old.
Piazza is definitely the best, my favorite, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Incredible. Kelly O'Hara singing it is absolutely divine.
Kelly O'Hara singing anything Kelly is O'Hara pretty divine.
Just makes me, this comes on in my car and I just listen to it. I've had so many moments when I just listen to the song and I'm walking and it's beautiful. It's a really inspiring song. I don't know, the build up towards the end is just, yeah.
And I will say, I'll link the scene, the YouTube, the scene and song in the show notes. It is a great scene that leads into this song between Clara and Margaret.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, then
everyone will have the opportunity to enjoy it.
It's just post-slap.
It's followed by the beautifully titled octet, but also subtitled Clara's tirade. Things are starting to go wrong again. This is Full Company, and the only song listed as Full Company.
Yeah, so
it's
this
not
is,
a big cast show.
This is just being converted to Catholicism.
Yeah.
And once Giuseppe comes in and Frank is like, where have you been? What are you doing? And then kisses Fabrizio and Clara just loses it.
Yeah.
It's like, he's mine. Don't you do that. Get away.
So it's not kind of like, everything's going wrong. It's literally a problem that's created and solved in the course of
and because
a song.
Of her mental capacity, she can't deal with that. It's like, you are mine. You're my possession. Like, you love me only. So get away. And just a big freak out. That's when the family really first notices that something's up.
Like, yeah.
This isn't normal.
Oh.
If you were 20, you wouldn't be.
Yeah. The Beauty is Reprise by Margaret. So picking up on the theme of Clara's song in the first act. Let's Walk, Margaret taking Signor
really nice
Naccarelli
really
out for a stroll at sunset. Followed by.
In a more generic Broadway musical, this would be like the Signora Naccarelli would not be in the picture and Margaret and Signor Naccarelli would be having a romantic moment, I think. But I'm really glad that that's not present in this movie. It's about two families talking to each other.
Yeah, and also Signor Naccarelli, he's into Margaret.
Yes.
He likes Margaret because he's obviously a player as well. And that's where Giuseppe gets it from, his father.
Yeah.
So, all throughout the show, there's like this cheating that's going on. And then you've got Clara Fabrizio's pure love, which is kind of just,
Sweet.
So they have a kiss at the end of, Let's Walk.
Do they?
They do, yeah.
And that kind of informs her later song.
Okay.
Yeah, because she feels she's actually fallen in love with Signor Naccarelli.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Whoopsies.
Before that happens, Love to Me, Fabrizio singing presumably to Clara because they wouldn't be singing it to anybody
else. It's such a beautiful song.
So beautiful. And then Margaret ends out the act with Fable.
Yeah.
There's no big rousing wedding scene number where they all sing in Italian. What's going on?
The orchestra just has a big, big, big build. Well, she walks to the altar. She hands her over to Fabrizio. It's like, she's yours now.
At the end of the song.
It's really intense.
So it begs the question. I mean, Clara's got the titular song. Clara and Fabrizio are the romantic leads, but a lot of this story seems to be driven by Margaret.
It's absolutely.
She gets the final say.
Absolutely.
She is the lead of the show.
She is the lead of the show, of course.
So Clara is supporting actress.
Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. There you go, indeed. Yeah. the critical response to the music was very positive across the board. Lots of big juicy words like gorgeous and
musically sophisticated,
plush, enjoyable, with genuine musical theatre sensibility,
psychological complexities.
It does seem to be the music that elevates the story from something that could have been quite sort of simple and trite. Yeah. Ben Brantley, who we've mentioned a bit, tends to pull shows apart in his New York Times reviews. I don't know why, but he keeps coming up in my searches lately. Deemed the show encouragingly ambitious.
And
I'm going to stop reading there. But he does say the production comes into its own with the sweetly bitter maternal regrets and dreams of Margaret Johnson. He made further mention of the gorgeous autumn leaf-strewn set and lush golden lighting and the delectable period costumes. Mm. So there's, you know, the feel of this show overall, I think, is aptly represented in that fullness and lushness of the orchestrations and the music. Anyway, have a listen and enjoy.
Yeah,
it's a lovely sort of Sunday afternoon listen with a glass of bubbly, I think.
It's also like, you know, you've got a lot of all musicals, there's a love, you know, but this is the language barrier, which I think makes it even more enjoyable to watch. It's very cute when you try to interact with someone who doesn't speak your language. So you have to find other modes of communication. So that was, it's really,
yeah.
I don't know if you've ever had a fling with falling in love with someone who doesn't speak your language.
It
can be very awkward, but if you manage to get past that, you know, like
it's
eyes
fine.
Or
you get there.
Yeah. Or just seeing them do it is very, very cute.
Yeah.
Then they get deported.
That doesn't happen. I refuse to believe it. Let's move on.
Let's console Julie.
So who's going to tell us about all the people who have done Piazza?
I'm not going to go through all of them, but I will go through some of them.
Because to go through all of them would be ridiculous.
There are a lot of different ones, but I'll just go through the interesting ones. So we'll start with the original Broadway cast with Victoria Clark. I'm having real trouble with consonants tonight.
Victoria
Clark is Margaret Johnson. Now, Victoria Clark is on a lot of soundtracks, but she has been in Guys and Dolls, A Grand Night for Singing, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying as Smitty. She was one of the original cast members of Titanic, originating Alice Bean. I'm not sure who she is in Titanic, but she was Fraulein Kost in the 99 to 2000 Cabaret, and she was Penelope Pennywise in Urinetown.
She's just crushing it left, right, and center.
Yeah. And she won the Tony for this show as Margaret Johnson.
Yeah.
She's got some stuff on.
She's been on Broadway. She works pretty constantly on Broadway. So good on her.
Rude.
More Victoria Clark. And I didn't realize that person had gone through all those roles until this. So that's what I learned. Kelly O'Hara as Clara Johnson. Matthew Morrison as Fabrizio Naccarelli.
It's the Broadway cast?
Yeah. This is the original Broadway cast, Matthew Morrison ring any bells?
Yes.
Glee.
Yep, yeah, he was on Glee.
How I know him, though, because she didn't watch Glee.
Michael Barres as Giuseppe. Sarah Unat Berry as Franca. Patty Cohenor as Signora Naccarelli. Bo Gravitt as Roy Johnson. Mark Haralick as Signor Naccarelli. It's funny that Signor Naccarelli is listed above Signor Naccarelli. Who knows? And Joseph Savaro as the priest. So that's the original Broadway cast. So if we go into the later, we have Aaron Lazar replacing in the role of Fabrizio.
He was, fun fact, he was in Wall of Wall Street as Margot. You know when Leo meets Margot?
Yes.
In the mansion. Margot's like boyfriend at the time in that show. That's him.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
He's amazing. He's very good. Yeah.
And so Katie Rose Clark came in as Clara Johnson. And in the pre-Broadway production in Seattle and Chicago, Kelly O'Hara played the role of Franca rather than Clara.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just for something different.
Cool. And Clara was played by Celia Keenan-Bolger.
Well, she's got the Italian accent now down in Bridges. So,
yeah, and so Stephen Pasquale played Fabrizio in the pre-Broadway, but couldn't play Broadway, as you said before. So if we go to the Australian concert version, had a one-night presentation at the Lyric Theatre, Star City in Sydney on August 17, 2008. The cast consisted of members of the Australian company of Phantom of the Opera, with Jackie Rees as Margaret, Kathleen Moore as Clara, and James Pratt as Fabrizio.
It was a one-night-only gig.
One-night-only?
Wow, why would they? Hey, guys, let's just on your night off.
Was it a concert?
One-night concert version.
Bet you it was a Monday.
Yeah, and so it's done like a national tour with Christine Andreas, Elena Shadow, David Burnham, and it's gone to Japan and done a few tours in the UK. Those are the main bits.
So no West End either?
No, not yet.
No.
So Chris Sarandon replaced Mark Haralick as Signor Nacarelli, and Katie Rose Clark. Well, I've already done that one. So yeah, that's all.
Yeah,
one day,
tour Australia, please. Yeah, good, done. Okay. Well, we also wanted to make a brief mention of the sets. Well, that original production.
Yeah, I did kind of touch on that before. Did, yeah. It's kind of all I wanted to say, but they are. If you watch the videos, because the Broadway production was filmed, so there are a lot of stuff. There is a lot of stuff on YouTube of that original set, and it is amazing how big they make that stage feel. Mm. Because especially in that final scene, just before Margaret sings Fable, there's a wrought iron fence across the stage with people behind it, kind of frozen, and she stands basically center stage singing. But that just looks like a giant open square in Italy at sunset. And it's amazing the size that they make, like with forced perspective and whatever, ridiculous, that they've done with the stage.
Cool. Interesting. Yes. I like that they do it with space, not with shoving more stuff on there.
Yeah. It's without having more like Florence's, Italian statues and fountains and
piazzas, huge, big, Uffizi and... Yeah, it is very big.
And I guess by having all that space, you can make people really focus on the personal journey that's happening right front and center.
Because you're not crowding them with set and stuff. Okay, well, let's have a quick break and then we're going to talk about our dream cast. So who do we want to see in the show?
I'd love to see the original Stephen, personally.
All right.
That's boring, though.
Yeah, it is. It is a bit.
I mean, we weren't going to say anything.
How's our general knowledge of great Italian musical theatre performers?
I can't say that I have a vast knowledge of Italian musical theatre performers in my head.
No.
But like you said, or like Julie said before, like, you know, you can sing in Italian without being Italian. Like Matthew Morrison, I don't believe is Italian.
The one that I heard today, I don't know which version I heard today. It was some questionable accent on Italian.
Yeah. You know, whatever. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
It was different.
Now, we mentioned her last week, but I think I would like to see Carolyn O'Connor as Victoria, as Margaret.
Margaret.
Oh, she'd be incredible.
I think she's kind of, she's having played Mama Rose in Gypsy, I think that qualifies her to kind of edge into that older role now.
Right.
Even though she is still quite young.
Carolyn O'Connor or Margaret?
Carolyn O'Connor.
Mm. Is she? Oh, she's in Carolyn O'Connor.
Late 40s?
I would say late 40s, yeah.
I think she's 50.
She's still, she could definitely play Margaret.
I feel like
She'd be fantastic.
Yeah, I feel like she's age appropriate.
Oh, yeah. Good. Oh, I was expecting a little bit of pushback, but none there. No, so excellent. And just so we don't forget, this week, Giuseppe, Zac Efron.
Giuseppe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you do that.
I was actually going to say probably not suitable for this musical, but sure.
What? Yeah, he absolutely is.
Well, I mean, he will have to speak in Italian, so if we're having trouble with Italian accents.
I'm sure he can do it.
I'm sure he can. He's a very talented man.
He's a very talented
man. Have you seen him in The Greatest Showman? Damn, we can dance.
So what about as Clara? Do we have any feelings there?
Kind of. I'm pretty.
Look.
No, we don't seem to have any feelings.
Okay, Carolyn O'Connor is 56. Everyone, just is FYI.
She?
Yeah,
she looks really good.
Very good.
She looks about 56.
56.
Yes,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Like Australian performers?
No, just anyone.
Anybody in general. Yep, cool.
Like you can put yourself as Fabrizio if you want.
Well, I did.
That'd be cute.
I played Fabrizio.
But in your dream production, you can be Fabrizio.
Okay, that's lame. That's again lame.
I don't know. I put myself into the Fabrizio producers, so.
What's up? It's a.
You did too.
Yeah, it was a great role to play.
Who was your Clara?
Genevieve Kingsford. Who she was just she starred in Brigadoon with the
Brigadoon
production company, and now she's in Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, supporting actress with Mitchell Butel. But yeah, she's wonderful. She's very, very, very talented.
Mitchell Butel
as who?
Anybody?
Well,
is he too old for Fabrizio? What about the brother
Giuseppe?
Yeah, he couldn't play either. Couldn't play. Look, Mitch
is
amazing.
Is he old enough for Senor Nacarelli?
You cannot play. But no, I don't know. Maybe he
needs
the dad.
To be either older or younger. Is that his problem?
You play the dad.
To be fair, when Matthew Morrison played Fabrizio, I believe Matthew Morrison was about 40. So
what?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, he wasn't. 20. Was he?
No. 2005. Oh, no, he wouldn't be 40. He would have been 30.
Yeah.
Playing a 20-year-old.
Playing a 20-year-old.
Mitch Butel could be, he could be the dad, Senor Nacarelli.
Yeah.
Why not?
Okay.
Why not? Let's just do it.
It's got a bit of a European vibe. Why just put it in there?
Yeah.
I don't really know.
This one's a hard one for me.
It is hard.
Well, I don't really know that many performers in general, if I'm being honest. So,
but also it's like overseas. A real legit sing. So yeah, you need really to have real singers in there.
Honestly, dream cast would be Stephen Pasquale because I think his voice is absolutely incredible. So for me, and Kelly, you can't beat her. She's one of the
Kelly
best
O'Hara,
on Broadway. Yeah. So like they really had it nailed the first time. Stephen's my idol. So.
That's it. Mm. No one else. Just the original Broadway.
Aww. Yeah. Here I was going to throw in Laura. Did someone throw in Laura before?
Not even the original Broadway, the original preview.
With Kelly as Franca?
No, not the tour. the first run in Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Without Matthew. he's not on the Dreamcast. He can stay in Glee.
Where are you putting?
Were she? I don't know if someone put it in before, but were she younger for Clara Laura Benetti?
Mm-hmm.
Like back in the day, she loves me.
She loves me not.
She's in that. She's in a TV show called The Detour.
Ooh.
She's
lots
in.
Lots of songs?
She's in. Look
no
in.
Songs. Okay.
Zay's accepting
well,
anything.
If you guys can come up with any other ideas for some slightly operatic-ish performers, possibly with an Italian background, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Drop us a comment on the Facebook or tweet us. Send us an email. Do whatever you like. For now, let's talk top fives. We're going to put the show on some top five lists now and go.
Top five Italian language musicals.
Best way to pick up Italian men.
Or is American tourists.
Just men in general, throwing hats at them.
Yeah.
Hoping that they will, you know, receive with some nice gesture. So to start a conversation.
Dating advice.
Dating advice.
Do you think we could try it here in Australia? Let's give it a go.
Sure. Definitely. Yeah.
Any type of musical clothing. Set in Italy.
How many are there set in Italy?
Oh, that's a good question.
I feel like there's a lot of operas set in Italy.
It's added to the list.
Yeah, I'd put this above all of those, though.
Wow.
Because I can't name them right now.
Top well, five
but
love
are we
stories?
Calling operas musicals?
They are not.
I specifically said musicals.
Oh, let it go. Big call over here on the other side of the table.
I go top five romantic love stories.
Oh.
I know I think it's really? Up there. I really do think it's up there.
It is just another.
Zane has crossed his arms.
You're going to have to defend that.
And his head is heavily tilted.
It is just another guy sees girl.
No, but.
Then they're in love gig.
Yeah, but it's complicated. It is so
only
complicated.
Only after the fact.
I will say, I think a lot of the complications come from the family. So no, being the Margaret and.
Not
and
so much
Signor.
The complications, it's the beauty of the love.
Oh, yeah.
The fact
yeah.
that she's so innocent and. Yeah, youthful and, you know, high on life. And yeah, you see, yeah.
It is one of the stories where their love is the lesson that everyone around them learns.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I would let you put it on your list. I don't know if I would put it on my list.
Enjoy
it
on your own personal overall.
What would be on your list?
I don't know.
I don't.
Come on.
I don't know. I need
give
more time
one,
to think about
like
it.
Romeo and Juliet.
Well, Zane will get back to you.
Obviously, The Phantom of the Opera. Obviously. The truest love story of them all.
Wait, between Christine and the Phantom
opera?
Or Christine and
between
Raoul?
Raoul?
Between the Phantom
please,
and Raoul,
please,
obviously.
Please.
What about between Phantom and Madame Giry?
No.
Wow.
No. That's a hot love story.
No.
Have Phantom of the Opera will be your pick?
No. It's obviously Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, stop it. Oh, yes.
No, everyone knows Oklahoma is the greatest love story.
Piazza is on the list. I don't know how far up it is.
Probably not that
Piazza
far
Piazza is definitely not on that
I'm
list.
Sorry.
How about top five mother characters?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good mothers.
I'll give it that one. But yeah, sure.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's a, that's a, again, issues. That's a, it's a tough list, but it, it, I
where
think
the
it's
mother
close
is well intentioned. Or, like, can we go for, like, misintentioned mothers as well?
No, just mothers.
Okay, well, then no.
Just mothers. You know? No? Any more?
Top five modern classical scores?
Maybe.
If that's a thing, then yeah.
Who's he really competing with, apart from...
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Sometime and Webber.
Don't.
Yeah, but Webber's come up with, you know, we're talking like recent.
Yeah, I think it.
I think one of the score definitely
when was
is
she
up
loves
there.
Me.
Yeah. It's a revival that we see now. So
All right.
A while ago.
Yeah, no, that's probably it then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crushed cool.
It. Good.
Cool.
Hey.
We want to throw any more in there. Now's the time. Last call on top fives for Light in the Piazza. Click. So what lessons have we learned from this show, from Light in the Piazza?
If you want to marry an Italian.
The Night in the Piazza.
The Night in the Piazza is not the title of this show.
Twist.
That's what I learned.
The Night in the Light in the Piazza. Mm.
The night light. That throwing your hat.
The night's nightlight in the piazza.
Okay.
Focus. Stop.
At eligible men.
Yeah.
Could get you a date.
Yeah.
Gonna do it.
Could get you married.
Okay.
Gonna.
Particularly
do
Italian
it.
Men.
I have a wardrobe of hats I'm willing to
Italian
throw away.
Men. Yeah.
I'm gonna buy hats easy. Just to throw them away.
Do you think the type of hat matters?
I think so.
So not like a marry
I'd
me
go
cap.
Fedora. Go fedora.
Like a light colored broad brim with a ribbon around it.
Just look at the Light in the Piazza actual like the cover.
Yeah. Where's the cover?
I don't think he can be wearing a Make America Great Again hat and expect anything good.
If you look at the
something that flows in
like
the wind.
Like a straw hat with
straw
ribbons.
Hat with ribbons,
according to the
blue or pink, preferably.
I have a straw hat with ribbons.
Oh, well, you're in luck. Well, you know what we're doing this weekend.
Going to Italy.
With straw hats.
That's all right. I'll book it tomorrow. We'll get it done.
Okay, great. What else did we learn? What did we learn?
Seeing the light and everything. The beauty of the world.
Boo, beauty of the world. Gross.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is.
I was walking my dog the other day. It was sunset. The trees were glistening. It was divine.
Oh, and you had a dog.
Yeah.
Life's good with
you know,
a dog.
It was great. Everything around you was beautiful.
Sometimes. I think it's similar to A Little Night Music. There's old people reflecting on the lessons that young people are learning and applying them to their lives and their experiences.
Mm-hmm. Never too late.
I think Margaret's arc is very similar in that way, that she kind of learns to appreciate what she had or didn't have and what she wants in her future because of what Clara's getting now.
Yeah. Hmm. So yeah, never too late to learn stuff.
The old learning from the young.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's nice. It's nice, isn't it?
And it's also different. There's also a point where you have to let people
go.
Live their own
you
lives.
To let go. Let go. Yeah, that's for the best.
I think Margaret certainly learns that lesson during the show. So I hope it's something that
she sings about it like three times.
Sings about it a lot of times. Yeah, she does. She comes back.
Just keeps on harping on.
Come on, Margaret. We get the undo.
Something that isn't.
Let it go. Let it go. Don't harp about it anymore.
Speaking of the harp, I think that the orchestration of this show proves that something with a different musical voice can really work and cut through.
And as much as you love brass, you don't always need
brass. You don't
always
need it. Yeah,
we don't need to keep
taking
just add a harp.
Turning them into musicals. We can, you know, the classic story, the novella is beautiful. You haven't read it? Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Delightful.
That's cool.
Julie, did you learn anything?
Nah.
Oh.
Natalie.
Love's for losers.
No, love is for...
You're not wrong.
About the production itself, I think that like a big production can be based on a very small, simple, personal story because at the heart of it there is maybe four characters, like main characters in this musical, and it is all about how they're interacting and how they're feeling about each other and external forces acting on like family bonds. Mm. Yeah. So... And the production was very big, musically and set wise, and running on Broadway for however many hundreds
shows.
Performances. Yeah.
Cool. So is that when just that's it? We're done.
Wow,
we're done.
Yeah.
I think all so. Right.
The beauty is the light in the piazza. Okay, well, we are about to say our goodbyes because we've talked about all of the things that we could talk about. But there is one thing I'd like you to help us with, Jonathan, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
As a professional performer, I need to ask you to volunteer your time now because we can't pay you for it.
We've got carrots here. I'll happily take them.
Do you know the song Happy Birthday?
Sì. Certo, sì. In italiano.
Can you see it in italiano?
Tanti auguri a te, sì.
Aww.
Or happy birthday, whichever one you'd like.
How
Italiano
about
version.
A
or?
Little of both.
Okay, sure.
For our friend, Julie Eisentrager.
Happy birthday, Julie.
Happy birthday, Julie.
Woo.
Woo.
Yeah. She's on her phone right now.
Well.
She's just receiving all those birthday
all those
texts
birthday
and messages.
Texts. Yeah,
yeah, that's what it is.
How many are you? Can you say?
Mm-hmm, I sure can. 28.
No way.
Yes,
I thought
way.
You looked like
barely
24.
Over 16.
16
I thought you were
going
to say 60.
Well, you know what? You are notoriously bad at ages.
I am.
Because you did
bad.
Think Carolyn O'Connor was 40, so.
I honestly did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, also happy birthday to Caroline O'Connor, who
happy
just turned
O'Connor.
40 again.
40, yeah.
Congratulations.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you very much for coming in, Jonathan.
Oh, no, thank you so much for having
talking
me.
Talking with
awesome.
Us.
Yeah, it was really nice.
I hope we get to see you in lots of stuff soon.
Hopefully.
Around.
I don't know.
So you are doing a show.
I'm doing a school tour, regional tour with Opera Queensland and Shake and Stir, Hansel and Gretel. And we're adapting that for an hour-long kids show.
At a Rob Lowe.
Cool.
Yeah, we tour all
over.
So if
you're in a regional school, lucky you.
Van Nuys, Cairns, all over. So hopefully, yeah, we'll be coming to a school.
People are just moving
you.
Left, right and centre right now.
I need to go back to school in Mount Isa.
Yeah.
In the next.
That is commitment.
That is commitment.
Yeah. It's a good that time. Is. They've got a great cinema.
It is.
Yeah, up in old Mount Isa.
Oh, yeah. Good.
A mine as well, a very big mine. KFC is a good time.
Wow.
Yeah. Cinema, mine, KFC is checking
bars,
all the boxes.
Bars.
Me and my hats are moving to Mount Isa.
Okay. Well, you have a great time in
thank you. Thanks,
the Isa.
And Cairns, you know, Great Barrier Reef.
All
other,
the regions.
Other spots, not just Mount Isa.
Okay.
All right,
we
got it.
We believe you. Yeah. thousands wouldn't. Thank you, Julie.
Have fun in Brisbane, guys.
Thank you, Miranda.
Thank you for coming in on your birthday.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's not really your birthday when we're recording, but it will be by the
really
time
not.
Everyone's listening. So I thought
so
that
if
was
you
nice
see Julie
video.
In the next, I don't know, year or so, just sing a happy birthday. Because she deserves it.
I want it in Italian.
In Italian.
Put some effort
you
in.
You happy birthday to her?
Yeah.
Are you going to join in?
Oh, I don't know it in Italian.
You have to make up the words in Italian.
it's just tanti auguri.
Tanti auguri.
A te.
A te.
Yeah. Tanti auguri a te. Tanti auguri a te. Tanti auguri a Giulia. Perché in italiano?
Tanti auguri a te. Yay!
That was fun. That's the first time I heard it sung in Italian to me.
There you go.
Won't be the last.
Won't be the
after
last.
You
I'm
go
sure,
to Italy
Julie.
And catch yourself a bachelor.
Yeah.
With a hat.
Many more. Thank you for the song, Jonathan.
Anytime.
My name is Miranda Selwood. I've been your host this evening, along with
Zane C. Weber.
Julie Eisentrager.
The older and wiser Julie Eisentrager. Thank you very much for listening. We love to have you give us comments and likes and stuff on Facebook. So find us there. Also on Twitter. You can email us at musicalstaughtmepodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to chuck us a couple of bucks a month for some extra content, patreon.com/musicalstaughtmeeverythingiknow. We do extra episodes, including some great top five lists and stuff
so
for you there. Subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes or whatever podcaster you like to use. And don't forget to tell your friends.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends about.
So thank you very much, audience, for listening, and we hope that you have a great weekend. Bye.
Ciao.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.